This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Matt Barnes at one point had no home in the NBA. He was a nobody. Came to the Warriors and carved out an entire spot for himself.
Real quick on Matt Barnes and the All the Smoke podcast with Stephen Jackson. They have Vernon Maxwell on this past week, and it might be one of the funniest things I've ever seen in my entire life. I keep seeing all the different. Just you're on Instagram. You're on. I'm not a TikToker, but they have the reels, right? Or the shorts on YouTube, they keep popping up. And Vernon Maxwell might be the funniest guest I've ever heard in my entire life. I urge everyone to watch it if you haven't. Continue.
Well, there's just the Warriors for many, many, many years had like this legacy of random dudes coming in and becoming fan favorites. They're not starters. You don't want them to start.
Like Cedric Maxwell's cornbread, by the way. Cedric Maxwell.
Oh,
Vernon Maxwell.
Vernon, oh, my
Vernon
bad.
Different guy.
Cedric.
No. Mr. And Florida basketball.
So Vernon was on the Rockets. He was awesome. Yeah. But like I'm looking at it, you got Brian Cardinal, you got Matt Barnes. Obviously, like you can go like Carl Landry or guys like that. Guys that were perfect off the bench and gave you a spark and gave the team exactly what they need. They weren't great at any one thing, but they were well-rounded players who hustled and gave you energy. And that's what you're getting from Guy Santos. You mix in, now he's getting more run. You mix in Quentin Post. 2 months ago, Quentin Post, I thought from Anthony Slater telling us.
He said it.
2 years away. Well, I think the guy's clearly an impact player right now in terms of like he's a rotation piece. I might start him. I might not, but he can knock down some shots. He gives them some size and length on defense. He's going to make mistakes. That's the rookie growth. But by the end of the year, like this guy is going to be a mainstay on this team. And then I think about what it's done for someone like Pajemski. Now Pajemski knows like I'm going to be one of the primary ball handlers. Get Schroeder out of here. I'm in the rotation. I'm good to go. He's confident. He's playing with a decisiveness. He's giving me all the energy. Before he's knocking down shots, great. Moses Moody has been empowered. He is in the lineup. Now, I think the Kuminga absence has given Moses Moody more of a runway. I think the Wiggins, you know, departure has given him more of a runway. That's great. And then, like, let's just call it what it is. Andrew Wiggins, you always wanted just a little more from him.
Right.
A little more physicality, a little more finishing around the rim, a little more, you know, like, sense of urgency. That's just not in his game.
That's probably what you're going to say at the end of his career is like, man, what could have been with Andrew Wiggins? Maybe he could have been that guy, but you know what? He was a solid player and a good player and an all-star player at one point, but he's never going to be that great player that's going to take you and carry you when your team needs it. And by the way, you are listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app. Once again, it is a Warriors Wednesday brought to you by Friedman's Appliance. Come see their full selection of in-stock luxury appliances and live working vignettes. Visit Friedman's Appliance in Pleasant Hill today. Anthony Slater, the guy you just mentioned, that he didn't see Quentin Post doing this. A couple months ago, he was saying, man, maybe Quentin Post is 2 years away from joining the NBA. And now here he is getting consistent minutes night in and night out at Madison Square Garden, of all places. So Anthony Slater, 8:30, courtesy of the River Islands guest line. Can't wait to talk to Slates. I also want to update. I know this is all positive. Everyone's happy. This is great. Let's go to Jonathan Kuminga. This time last week, we were talking to Anthony Slater. And he said, yeah, mid-road trip. All right, well, this road trip's about to be over. Is he coming back? Are they going to wait for the homestand? Very concerned still about one Jonathan Kuminga and his potential arrival to the mainstay of the Golden State Warriors team.
They do need an athlete, though.
No, they need it.
They need another big body. They need another strong guy. They need another guy that can put pressure on the rim. His presence is needed, especially when you didn't have GP2 yesterday. You needed another perimeter defender. Right. You needed another energy hustle guy. By the way, that's another guy whose role, although hasn't like had this huge uptick, GP2's been really good since the trade deadline.
Absolutely, and obviously missed the game yesterday. Do a nasal fracture, they're calling it. That sounds painful. Let's go to the phones. Let's do that. Sayon is in New York. What's up, Sayon? You're on with Spadoni and Chasky.
What's going on, y'all? Sayon.
Oh, I apologize.
That's my
name. So you know what? I'll take the fall for that. Sayon. When you help me out in the box, boys, you can spell it out phonetically, and I will do it going forward. No, because some people don't. I have to do that. I had to do that going back to my producer. That was Steiny, because he would struggle with some of the pronunciations of certain names.
What did he say that one time? We have so-and-so on, and it was someone totally different.
Oh, well, John Fogerty, when it was John Sally. going there.
You talk about two guys that could not be more different.
No, it's right here. There it is.
John Sally.
Bad Boys Pistons. John Sally. It was one of the all-time moments, and Big Boss Man thought it was John Fogerty's number, and he was in there.
John Fogerty, Creedence Clearwater Center Field.
There you go. Yes, one of the all like
not John Sally, the best damn sports show, Detroit Pistons bad boy,
no.
7-footer.
Yes, not him. And Big Boss Man, when I tell you he looked mortified and like looked like he saw a ghost, and the embarrassment that he had in the back room, and all I was doing, because he looked so embarrassed, I laughed my ass off during the whole thing, because I knew we just struck radio gold in that moment, the John Fogerty, John Sally. Sayon, you can't say that word, unfortunately. Call back another time, bud. Not today, because you have to do that. Quick ban, you can't say the word. Sorry. Maybe call back tomorrow. And gave your thoughts on he's in New York too. Maybe he went to the game. I don't know.
Well, but there was something to be said for another arena, another night, another fourth quarter, another crowd that's not Steph Curry's cheering for Steph Curry at the end of the game.
On primetime too. It was a TNT game. Some of you may have saw it. Some of you might not have seen it. Ian Eagle and Greg Anthony on the call. Love me some Ian Eagle. I love me some Fitz and Buki, of course. And I love me some Kevin Dana, because that's what you should be doing, right? You should be streaming. You sync the stream, right, Joe Shasky? I know you're getting a little older. You don't have time for that. You're not as patient. Maybe you watch the games on silent,
don't
baby LJ.
Don't cross the streams like Ghostbusters.
Never
said.
Do that, Peter Venkman. Thank you.
Cross
or Ray
the
Stantz.
Streams.
Benny loves Ghostbusters, by the way.
I do, too.
He loves,
first movie I memorized.
No, he loves
that Superman.
No, Shasky. He loves Ghostbusters. Like, that is, like, all the toys. Like the 1980s toys that they remade. He has all those.
Sleep on the 84 release of Ghostbusters, one of the greatest movies of all time.
Ghostbusters 2 was whatever.
No. Time out. With the baby? Are you kidding me?
It was
Vigo?
Whatever. Vigo, the Carpathian. Yeah.
Oh, who cares?
Thank you. Where's that guy up to? He's probably fired up about his Knicks loss. You know who else is fired up about a Warriors win is one Steve Kerr. As I vamp here, because I got to my drops. Steve Kerr on the win last night as he's joining Willard and Dibbs later today on 95.7 The Game.
Really good win. They all count, obviously, but this felt good, you know, on the road, on a back-to-back against a great team, and kind of hanging in there when shots weren't going in the first half. Just liked how solid we were for the whole 48. Every possession mattered, and there was a purpose, and Jimmy has a lot to do with that. But I give all of our guys a lot of credit, because they're finding a real identity, and it's fun to watch unfold.
2:30, Steve Kerr right here on 95.7 The Game, courtesy of the River Islands guest line. He'll be on with Willard and Dibbs. Again, 2:30 appointment radio as it is each and every week right here on 95.7 The Game. And I want to ask the question at 888-957-9570. The biggest change you've seen with this team is what since the acquisition of Jimmy Butler? 888-957-9570. Because for me, I just see the urgency just ratcheted up.
What about the joy?
Tenfold. That's a great one.
What
you
about
could
the
say
joy?
Joy?
It just seems like Steph is so much happier. And the team is kind of like
I'm happier.
Taking their cue from him.
To hell with Steph. I'm happier watching this team. Yeah. This sounds crazy. The hell is Steph? But no, I needed to watch this team every single day. And it felt like this, again, I keep going back to this. When we work in this business, Joe Shasky, whether it's you, whether it's me, whether it's Sam, whether it's Carter, it shouldn't feel like a job. We got into this not because it wanted to feel like a job, a regular 9-to-5. I got into this for the joy of it. Watching the Warriors for a good portion of this season felt like a job. And I didn't like coming into this to the station every day, talking about the team like it was corporate America. This is basketball, man. So I want to have fun.
Listen to Steve Kerr right there. It felt like, and that we referenced the different guys that got traded at the deadline. Every night, why'd you only play Kyle Anderson 2 minutes? Mm. Well, why did Lindy Waters get as much run as he did? What's going on with Dennis Schroeder?
Think about the questions. I completely forgot about Lindy Waters. I'm going to keep it a buck.
Most people did.
Yeah.
And he had a moment in time.
Sure, one.
Yeah.
The water is now run dry in Golden State.
Thank you, TLC.
Yep. He is now in Detroit. We're actually good. He might actually get some run there. We'll see.
Like, I just think about all the silly questions and all the silly things that we were doing. Like, we were arguing about the minute allocation to players that are so insignificant to the grand scheme of if the Warriors are going to be good or not. And then, you know, Wiggins had a really good year. Like, he did. He had a really good year. But they needed something different. And when I think about Steph Curry, he was trying so hard to get good looks. It's like, man, this is the hardest he's ever tried and the most inefficient he's ever looked. And the reverse has happened since the trade. It's the most efficient he's ever looked in the last 4 or 5 years. And he's having more fun and things seem a lot easier. The final possessions last night with the 2 minutes to go, whatever it was, where it's Jimmy, Draymond, and Steph Curry. And they're on the side. And you got the two other guys, you know, bottom of your screen. And they're just running like a three-man weave with movement and screens. And they're kicking it out. They got three wide open looks. And eventually, you know, Steph's going to hit that.
Yeah.
Before, it would have been Steph trying to hoist a prayer over multiple people from 40 feet away after multiple step backs with maybe the shot clock winding down.
Again, they lose that game a month ago. Like, that's just where this team was at. They get down 8-10 points, and it felt like 20. Like, it shouldn't feel like that in the NBA. In this day and age, Joe Shasky, in this day and age, when 20 to 30 point leads can evaporate. Yeah. 20 to 30 point leads. Just look at what the Celtics and Cavs did the other day when the Cavs were down, 22 in the first quarter in the blink of an eye. It was like 25-3.
Yes.
And the Cavs won that game. But it felt like for the Warriors, everything that was 8, 10, 12 points felt like that big of a hole.
Insurmountable.
Because they just didn't have the firepower and they didn't have that intensity and they didn't have the defense and they couldn't slow the game down. It just felt like, well, they did slow the game down in a negative way, but they couldn't get their own shots up. They couldn't have creativity on offense. Again, all of those things have changed. And the biggest change for you has been what during this Jimmy Butler era, Dub Nation? 888-957-9570. We'll pick this up on the other side. Anthony Slater, 830. More of your calls, more of your text. That's what's coming up in the game. Brought to you by Life Source Water Systems.
Come on, man. You got Larry June in the building. You listen to the Morning Roast. And we're doing numbers, man. Good job, Morning Roast. Sock it to me. Hey, 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 hey.
Yeah. 4 a.m. Bay Bridge Music here. What's up, Larry June? Spadoni. It's Shasky. We're rolling here. The Warriors are rolling. 114-102, the final last night as they improved to 34-28 on the season.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And they are currently your sixth seed in the Western Conference, but they're not going to settle there. You never settle in life, Joe Shasky. And I'm not settling for the sixth spot right now from the Golden State Warriors. I'm trying to get to the fifth. Hell, maybe, just maybe, I can get greedy and get to the fourth. But the fifth is absolutely, in my mind, a possibility.
Tonight,
now.
Memphis plays Oklahoma City.
Oh.
The Pelicans are going to play the Rockets and the Grizzlies multiple times over the next couple of days.
Pelicans stink, but Zion's looked incredible the last two games. I'm just letting you know.
Don't sleep on my fly, Pelicans fly.
Well, they just got like destroyed by the Lakers last
night. I need the fighting Pels to do something, all right? I need you. You know, it's funny you bring up the Jimmy Butler stuff and everyone's thinking about it. Look, I didn't see it being like this. And I was all over the map. I didn't want Jimmy.
I told you he was a great leader and a great family man.
You were right.
Thank you.
That's
all I wanted. That's all I wanted.
Well, you were right, Joe.
Thank you.
I got a text.
I've been taking a lot of L's these last 6 months. I needed that.
There you go. I got a text on December 12th at 7:11 in the morning.
Huh?
You know, Colin Cowherd has a segment where Colin was right, where Colin was wrong.
As long as they're wearing their hats forward-facing and not backwards.
Exactly.
Correct.
Well, this is where young Guido was right.
Love Guido.
Young Guido. It's not about limping into the playoffs with the roster they have. They don't have enough impact players in the playoffs. Let's keep it real. Jimmy Butler, on the other hand, once the playoffs start, no matter what seed you are, he will go off and make a huge difference and plays at the same level Steph would. And I reply, I think Butler is done. He goes, he averages 26-4 while pacing himself for the playoffs. Run the dude is an all-world player. Working beside Dre and Steph would enhance this entire team. Young Guido was pounding the table for months.
Don't sleep on my guy, Guido.
For months on Jimmy Butler. And I'm just going to come out and say it. I did not see this coming.
Oh.
I was happy they made a deal at the deadline. But in no world did I think Jimmy Butler just being traded to the Warriors would make everything different.
I thought this team would be better and a borderline playoff team with him. I didn't think it would happen this fast, but I did think his mindset, his aggressive mentality, and I said it then and I'll say it now, I thought he was a better fit currently for what this Golden State Warriors team needed than Kevin Durant. And I get it. The Kevin Durant, he's a made guy here. He won 2 finals MVPs.
Sure.
He's a legend. He's a Warriors Hall of Famer as far as I'm concerned.
I would agree with you.
There you go. And you know what you have with Kevin Durant, and you bring him here. And now some people may still say, hey, I would still want Kevin Durant. By the way, did you see him and Mike Budenholzer last night?
Yeah.
Head coach of the Phoenix Suns?
Yeah.
Did not look good.
Well, Coach Bud, I mean.
And then Stan Van Gundy on the call. He's like, yeah, you know, this happens. This is, cause this is elite coaching, elite players at the highest level.
Yeah.
You and Dwight Howard on line one, Stan.
And Shaq telling everyone that you panic in the middle of games.
There you go. I like Stan Van Gundy. Maybe we could book him one of these weeks, Sam Lubman, because he is a really good guest, and he's a very good basketball mind. But I just thought that whole exchange was funny. But it underscores
pride of Martinez, California.
That's right. Him and his brother.
And?
Jeff. And Joe DiMaggio.
Look at you.
I know my Paisans. Come on, man. Let's go. But in Van Gundy, I would assume Van is usually Dutch, like Virgil van Dijk. So maybe maybe he knows Quentin Post. Who knows? Deep down the lineage. Now that's a stretch. But I say all that to say this. You know, we're getting off the path here. I'm getting a little crazy. But the Jimmy Butler experience, the fact that it did happen this fast, I think is great, not only for us because we get to talk about the team, but we get to see this team now the next couple of weeks. And they're going to have a stretch here coming up, Joe Shaska, as I pull up their schedule, because they got the Nets tomorrow. They got the Pistons at home. That's a primetime game at 5:30. Yeah, the Detroit Pistons all of a sudden.
Another team like the Warriors. Don't look at what they were.
No.
Look at what they are.
Correct. And Cade Cunningham is one of the future studs in this league. We're talking about, and we talk about it too much, the future faces of the league. If Cade Cunningham can make the Detroit Pistons a contender, like, and that is a franchise that has history.
Yeah.
You think of, we're talking about John Sally, Bad Boys Pistons. And you talk about the Bad Boys in the early 2000s, Ben Wallace for our generation, probably.
But they've been awful for two decades.
No, since LeBron probably beat them in the Eastern Conference Finals, they've been horrible.
Yes.
Andre Drummond might be one of their best players, for Christ's sake.
He is.
Their time, right? That's saying something.
But it goes to show you that, you know, winning players like Cade Cunningham can change a franchise.
Absolutely. And they believed in him, and so much so that they paid him all that money, even though he was on a losing team, but they saw the future there. All right, Pistons on Saturday. Got the Blazers on Monday. I'm not saying the Blazers are an easy win. Like, that's not an easy win. They play hard each and every night. They're lurking. They might have some hope for the 10th spot, depending on what happens with the Dallas Mavericks. And now the Dallas Mavericks are talking about contemplating shutting down Anthony Davis, according to reports. And we were talking about that yesterday. So that's another team.
Yeah, we both kind of predicted that.
Then you got the Kings. Now this is where the stretch gets a little interesting. Kings next Thursday, March 13th.
Which they feel like a different team, and they're kind of figuring it out too.
Yep. Then you got the Knicks, okay.
Which could be, who knows, they're on a long road trip. They might sit some people.
Absolutely. Then you got the Nuggets, and then the Bucks. That's going to be a fascinating four-game stretch for me.
Wow.
And that's 4 games in 5 days, too. So do you get Steph and Jimmy for all those games? Do you get Steph, Draymond, and Jimmy for all those games? We shall see. But, again, I have so much confidence in this team that I'm even saying, yeah, they can go 4-0. They can go 3-1.
That's crazy.
Were you saying that a month ago?
No.
No.
I was like, can they go 2-2, 1-3?
And what's changed for you in that time, Dub Nation? 888-957-9570. What have you seen with Jimmy Butler being out there? Because it can't all be Jimmy.
No.
Is it all Jimmy? But no, there's the coaching. There's the players buying in. It's the young guys. It's the pods. It's the posts. It's everything, Joe.
When I think about some of like the great, you know, in-season trades, what it does for the others is as impactful as what that individual means for their own production.
Right.
So like, for example, you know, you trade for an ace in baseball, right? And it makes your whole rotation feel deeper and better and stronger.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's just, it goes without saying.
Yep.
It's like, wow, they just traded for Cliff Lee in the middle of the year. You're going to go Roy Halladay, Cliff Lee back to back. Wow.
John Lester for Yoenis Cespedes. Continue.
For example, that's a good example of one that kind of ruined their lineup.
Yeah.
So you get rid of your number four hitter in Yoenis Cespedes, and now Damian Moss and all these other guys are
Brandon Moss, but Damian Moss.
Excuse me, are miscast as players batting in spots they probably shouldn't be batting in, right? And I think that the problem with the Warriors pre Jimmy Butler is you had players playing roles that I didn't think that they were ready for, and you had too many guys. Like you had too many guys.
Yeah,
and then. I think what, you know, the acquisition of Jimmy has done is, hey, all right, Pods, you and Schroeder aren't going to be playing overlapping minutes, right? Because this didn't make sense. It didn't make sense. What's dribbling going on between the two of them? Pods looks so much better since returning from an injury.
Yeah.
Moses Moody has a clearly defined role. Moses, we're going to pick individual players for you to match up against defensively. We need you to hustle like crazy and get all the loose balls as best you can, and you're going to be a knockdown catch and shoot guy in the offense. Well, Jimmy Butler's passing plays right into that with Moses Moody. And I also think he's done a good job of pump faking and going to the hoop at times. I think about adding Quentin Post to the mix, stretch five. We've been asking for that forever. You know, even Looney, it's been kind of hit and miss the last couple of weeks, but at least Looney knows what his job is. Be a rugged defender. Be my one big. TJD, you're kind of ostracized right now. You're on the bench. You're not going to play a whole lot. GP2, guard the best perimeter player when you're on the court. Give me nothing but energy and hustle minutes. Yeah. Like, everyone's spots have really started to solidify. And then Draymond, which I am shocked. Jimmy being on the floor offensively, for whatever reason, has unlocked Draymond's passing. It's unlocked Draymond's playmaking. It's unlocked Draymond's shooting. He's had any shot he wants in the mid-range.
It's so funny because he said it after the game, Jimmy Butler. Again, I'll play it one more time. Jimmy Butler after the game, sound courtesy of NBC Sports Bay Area.
We got so many guys that are so unselfish that want to get everybody else the ball. Sometimes it's a bad thing because we're too unselfish, not taking the right shots. But in the end, we figured it out. We went into halftime, talked about what we were going to do, came out and executed.
The guy that was labeled selfish all season long, dating back to last summer, one Jimmy Butler III, is preaching unselfishness. And he is the guy that has probably been the most unselfish, quite frankly. Like, he is always looking to pass. He's looking for the next play. He's looking to intercept it on the defensive side. He is such a cerebral player that I think that's another aspect of this, as you're mentioning, as you're talking about, that people were sleeping on heading into this. Like, you can't underestimate someone's IQ. Like, he was the best player on a team that went to two NBA finals. I don't scoff at those things. I said it then, I'll say it now. That is a big deal. So not only has he been the head honcho, he's been that guy to carry a team multiple times. And again, just because it's the East, we act like, oh, he didn't play. No, he beat the Milwaukee Bucks with Giannis. He beat the Boston Celtics with Tatum and Brown. He's beaten some very, very good teams en route to the NBA Finals. And yeah, their team was going to be outmatched in both of those because the Lakers had Anthony Davis and LeBron James, and then the Nuggets had Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic. Like, they were going to win those series. But the fact that he got there, and I hate that we're in this society, Joe Shasky, that, oh, you didn't win the finals, so it doesn't matter. And this is something it's we do. This is something absurd. We do with LeBron and Steph, quite frankly. It's like, oh, you got there. Oh, but you blew a 3-1 lead, and that's what you're going to be remembered for. Oh, LeBron, the Niners, right?
We dismiss everything with the Niners.
Three Super Bowls.
You lost Super Bowl.
You lost three of them. You guys stink.
Like, that season was awful.
Right. Well, that's what we do. The following season was awful. But no, that's why it's so frustrating if you're a Niner fan. But I say all that to say this. Like, I do think we really slept on the fact that this guy was the best player, not on just one, but two teams that went to the NBA Finals.
Yeah, but I'm still surprised how quickly he's assimilated to just everything. So, like, I'm looking at the first 43 games without Jimmy Butler versus these 11 since he showed up. Now, it includes one game that he didn't play, and that's fine. Like, that's part of, you know, Steph didn't play in all the first 43. So just looking at this, all right, obviously their win-loss record, they were 21 and 22. Since acquiring Jimmy, they're 9-2. They shoot better field goal percentage. Their effective field goal percentage is better. Their three-point shot has actually dipped a little. And I would put some of that as, you know, Wiggins was a good three-point shooter. Jimmy's not. And Lindy Waters is a good three-point shooter, essentially. And they don't have that guy currently. But they're shooting way better from the free throw line. They're going to the free throw line more. They have more assists per game. They're turning it over less per game. They're stealing the ball more per game. And they're rebounding at a better clip. Mm. So if the eyeball doesn't tell you that they're a better team with Jimmy Butler, I almost went Garoppolo.
Careful, sir.
Every metric outside of the three ball, they've been more effective and more efficient on both ends of the floor. And you could see it. I watched in the break. I went into the office with the bosses, just, you know, chewing my Kit Kat bar at 7 o'clock in the morning. And I watched three backdoor cuts for layups. It's like the easiest basketball and the best basketball they've played in multiple years. Points, they are playing at such a high level.
Points in the paint. Not to cut you off there. It's a great point.
Give me the points in the paint.
50 for the Warriors, 52 for the Knicks. What do we say heading into that game? The Knicks have size.
And they do.
Now, Karl-Anthony Towns not being there, but he's not a points in the paint kind of a guy. He's an outside shooter. He'll get a pull up. He's not what you would call a posted up 7-footer. But again, it just underscores what you're saying. Points in the paint there. They're fast break points. 25 points to the Knicks 10. Now, the second chance points were about even. But I look at the fast break and the points in the paint. You called it, Joe Shasky. That's how you mitigate the lack of size, if you're just constantly penetrating that paint. And Jimmy said it yesterday after the game, too. I don't think we have that exact cut, but it was in the locker room. I think Anthony Slater posted it on social, and Anthony Slater will be joining us at 8:30, courtesy of the River Islands guest line, our 95.7 The Game Warriors insider. And Jimmy was saying, someone has got to be in the paint at all times when you have Steph on the floor. It's true. It's obvious. It sounds obvious. But how many times did it feel like we were watching this team not having a clue prior to Jimmy Butler being here about how to run an offense with Stephen Curry? We talked about it with Dennis Schroeder. He just could not play with the guy. They just didn't know what to do. And Schroeder's a guy that can cut and go into the paint. And now,
well, he was a warrior killer.
But you know what? Size matters, physicality matters, strength matters. And Jimmy Butler, he's 6'7", he's 230. Like, he could chill in the paint and be effective in there.
Now, Sam Lubman, I talked to him last night, and I said, hey, Sam, I need you to do some work for me, all right? And I want to give him credit here. I'm like, I want to know all of Steph's numbers before the Jimmy trade and all of his numbers since the Jimmy trade.
Give it to me.
Because you're talking about Steph and how easy the game looks right now.
Yeah.
Before the trade, he was averaging a little under 23 points a game. Since the trade, almost 30.
Absolutely incredible.
Insane. 7-point difference. Okay. Before the trade, he was 39% from three. After the trade, he's 43% from three. He's shooting a better clip. Okay. Shooting percentage overall from the floor, 43% before Jimmy, over 50 since he showed up.
It's crazy.
Shots per game.
We were talking about this real quick, Joe, as you're going. We were talking about this as being like one of the worst seasons like we've seen from Steph shooting the ball wise. It just was. Because he had to do so much.
He looked exhausted. Yeah. You know what we were saying? Is this kind of the end?
Yeah.
Like, is this the beginning of a precipitous fall off? Shots per game. He's averaging two more shots per game with Jimmy and hitting them at a better clip. Offensive rating for the entire team, 115 before Jimmy, which is a good, respectable number. They're 134. 134 offensive rating since Jimmy Butler's acquisition. Man. And here's the best stuff. Joe, I love this. Draymond, who we've already alluded to, he's averaged about 8 points a game before Jimmy. Over 11 since. Shooting 3% higher from the field, taking more shots, rebounding better, blocking more shots. Your two best players, who are the two of the four greatest players in Warrior history, maybe even five, six, however, you know, however many you got in your lifetime, they're both playing a better, more efficient, more proficient brand of basketball. And all the ancillary pieces are falling into place. Pod's playing great. There's an argument Moody's playing the best basketball of his career. Quentin Post is showing you something. Guy Santos is making plays. GP2 had a great road trip till the injury.
You've got Kevin Knox out there.
It's unreal.
Former Knicks legend Kevin Knox out there getting 12 minutes in Madison Square Garden.
This is unbelievable. And here's the key. This team, we talk about the free throw line. They were one of the worst free throw shooting teams in the league, right? Before Jimmy Butler.
Well, they couldn't even get there. When they got there, they would miss.
They would miss.
That was it. It was literally Steph. Whenever Steph missed a free throw, which is rare, it felt like he missed two of them. It's like, no!
Joe, how many games did we come in here and go, the missed free throws?
Yeah, right, all the time.
Okay. The Warriors have shot at least 80% from the line 8 times. In the 11 games since Jimmy arrived.
And last night, it was basically 80%. It was 78.9%.
Okay.
So there you go.
They've shot 80%, though, yes. 8 times.
Right, yeah.
Since Jimmy got here.
I'm adding this one.
They had 11 all year prior in the 43 games before him.
Yeah.
Pick the metric. Pick the eyeball. You know, isolate individual possessions. Go down the roster. Who is not playing some of their best ball of the year?
Well, Buddy Hield probably, but he's been picking it up lately.
You know
what?
That's
the only guy.
But Buddy's, okay, how would I put this? Buddy's few shots he hits hit harder.
Yes.
Because, like, everything else is kind of falling into place.
I agree on that. Absolutely. 3 of 10 yesterday, but it didn't feel like it because the time and place of those three-pointers were massive for the momentum of the team. And it was a gut punch to the New York Knicks because, like, damn. How Buddy Hield's making them, almost like when Draymond's hitting some threes, and like when he's hitting the threes, like, man, really? Like that's kind of going to be the night we have. Or Gary Payton when he gets back out there and he hits a couple. It just changes everything. We got some people on hold.
Yeah, let's hear from
them. Want to get to them.
God, I can't get over how good everyone's playing.
I don't think anyone can. I don't know.
They're so happy.
Right? Is Will and Marin happy? That's
what
I want to know. What's up, Will? You're on
Spadoni and
Shasky.
Long time no hear, man.
Hey, what's up, guys? Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, I think the thing that I've seen is, like you mentioned earlier, is the urgency. When you have two alpha male dogs in Draymond Green and Butler with, you don't give a you-know-what attitudes, it makes everybody comfortable. It's open. It's given confidence to Quentin Post, to Moody, to be that rugged defender. Also, you know, Curry's probably feeling like a young Wayne Gretzky with two enforcers around him. He's just letting the ball fly and having fun. And then when you have people like that around you, it makes you better. It relieves the pressure that is on your shoulders. I bet you when he showed up to the building and he was so bought in, as it's proven, probably everyone was like, oh, all right, cool. We're not getting a D, but we're getting a guy that is down. And it's like, it seems that the cool thing too is, like, it seems Jimmy Butler is happy to play basketball again with this group, which is awesome. And when you have that, it's a dangerous human being. So yeah, there's a lot of joy. There's a ton of confidence all around the rotation. And that's why I think they're being successful. Everyone's playing for each other and not themselves. It's team basketball again, like the Warriors thrive on. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, it's a great call. I see a lot of people try to, like, hey, the schedule's not very good. Sure, absolutely. Like, I acknowledge that. The schedule, they have not gone up against the toughest of opponents.
It's not their fault.
But they're making the most of it. And I think this team over the last 3 years, you know, since that title, you couldn't make that same statement.
Well, it's also somewhat...
They struggled against the weak teams.
Well, that's what I was about to say. It's somewhat of an ignorant statement, because if you've watched this team all season long, they struggle. Like, they might have lost against the Charlotte Hornets the other day.
They probably
lose to the Knicks
yes.
yesterday.
No, there's no doubt they lose to the Knicks
They
yesterday.
Lose to the Knicks. Like that's the difference in this team now. They were struggling against the bad teams, and they're playing the Nets tomorrow, a team that they've struggled against, and they've lost to the Brooklyn Nets, who are trying to lose, right? So... yeah, it's all baked into the equation there. You can't just say it's just the schedule. No, and like I've mentioned, coming up next Thursday, they're going to have a 4-game stretch in 5 days where it's Kings, Knicks, Nuggets, Bucks. That's going to be a very
good litmus test.
And if you want to add the Pistons and Trailblazers in there, I'm not sleeping on the Pistons and Trailblazers. Definitely not the Pistons. They're going to be a legitimate playoff team in the Eastern Conference. And the Trailblazers, who might be a 10th seed, who knows? And again, you say the 10th seed, they've been playing somewhat good basketball as of late. They're 28-34. I'm not sleeping on that team. And again, I like what Steve Kerr's preaching, Joe Shasky, because he's not sleeping on any of those teams either.
No.
And he's not allowing his team to fall into that trap. And we cannot praise him enough. Again, 230, Willard and Dibbs, Steve Kerr right here, 95.7 The Game. We cannot praise him enough, because when things weren't going right this season, everyone was saying, get rid of Kerr. Oh, this is his last season. Oh, he's got to go. We need a new change.
A
new voice. We needed a new player on the team. We needed that. We needed an actual change with the players. Give him the pieces to at least try to make this team better, because we knew they didn't have the pieces to get it done. If it was Steve Kerr, if it was Phil Jackson, if it was Greg Popovich, none of them were going to make this team into playoff contenders. I think we would have seen that. And now we're seeing, with a legitimate piece in Jimmy Butler, oh, this team might be a top 5 seed, or hell, maybe a top 4 seed in the West when it's all said and done.
Joe, literally the trade deadline was a month ago, February 6th.
Yeah.
Okay? 1 month ago, you were the 10th seed.
Yeah.
And we were questioning whether they were even going to get into the play-in. We were like, oh my God, Sacramento and the San Antonio Spurs, they're going to knock you down even harder.
We had callers saying they should just tank. We had...
Well, I made an...
We had segments...
That might be the...
you did.
I mean, I had talked myself into everything.
No, you did. Well, that's what you do as a fan.
I talked myself into Giannis. I talked myself into tanking for Cooper Flagg.
Well, you talked yourself back into Kevin Durant at this point, too.
I had talked myself into everything.
That's okay, but that's what you do as a fan. You got to do that.
But think about a month ago, they were the 10. If I would have said to Warrior fans the day they made the Jimmy Butler trade, because there was a lot of like hand-wringing, like, oh my God, we gave up too much. Oh, he's old. He's malcontent. A month later, you'd be trying to fight for the 5 seed. I don't think anyone would have believed me.
No, I wouldn't have. I would have said the 6th seed is absolutely a possibility.
Sure, because okay.
And again, we say that still, and they're 34-28 at the 6th spot. And then you got the T-Wolves right behind them at 34-29. Then you got the Kings right there at 32-28. They got the Clippers right there at 32-29. And the Mavs at 32-30, who we all think are going to fade. The Suns keep fading. They stink. They're 3-7 in their last 10. They are not a good basketball team. So, and the Clippers all of a sudden have lost 3 in a row. So, and maybe they pick it back up. Who knows? But it's not like the Warriors have... We want to be careful a little bit here, because we are high and mighty and we're all feeling very good. And why shouldn't you? They're 9-1 in games Jimmy Butler has played as a Golden State Warrior. Having said that, there's still a chance they're a play-in team. There is still a distinct possibility
Well, yeah,
they are a play-in team.
Yeah, but would you all agree that
So I want to be careful here. As excited we are,
yeah, sure.
Let's pump the brakes just a little bit. I'm not yucking your yum, Joe Shasky, but the Timberwolves could overtake you theoretically at one point. They can.
There's no doubt.
And they have an easy schedule coming up here.
I would just say, like, the whole temperature of the fan base has shifted overnight.
Yeah.
And I feel like the entire season has now become must-watch. Every game is must-watch. And it feels to me like that whole statement of, I just want to play in meaningful games from Steph Curry, now it feels like all these games are meaningful.
Yeah.
Whereas before, they just didn't have that same, like now, that was the great part of the run. It was like, for like a seven-year period, it's like, if you miss out on a Tuesday night game, you might miss something special.
Right.
And now I'm getting that same kind of feeling. Last night, fourth quarter, Madison Square Garden, all the stars out there. Steph hits that circus shot late in the fourth. You weren't getting all the feels watching the New York Knicks.
The shimmy.
I mean, it was just the crowd was going crazy.
Come on.
I was like, is this a Warrior home game?
The energy has just shifted, and you can feel it in the arenas. You can feel it when he's in Los Angeles, New York. It doesn't matter the big fan bases or the big markets that he's playing in, whether it's in Boston, whether it could be anywhere. Steph is going to get those cheers, and it's the sign of a top 10 player and maybe, just maybe, one of the greatest of all time. I don't think that's up for debate, but the greatest of all time? Just wait until you hear what Shaquille O'Neal had to say yesterday on Inside the NBA. We're going to get to that
Shaq,
a little bit later.
Shaq, a huge Steph fan.
Loves him some Stephen Curry. I love me some Morgan out in Morgan Hill.
What's up, Morgan?
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call. You know, you're so right, Shasky. Ever since we got Jimmy Butler, it's must-watch Warriors basketball, and the excitement is back. But, you know, one thing about Jimmy Butler that I think we all underestimated is, you know, coming from Miami, we kind of thought of him as more of a high-volume scorer, but still a smart player. And then you don't know how he's going to fit into the Warriors system. But I've just been so impressed the way he has fit as an off-ball type of player, you know, and the way he sets screens for Curry and knows when to slip it, you know, the cadence of how he plays and how he's had like this mind meld with Draymond Green. It's just so exciting to watch. And I underestimated Jimmy Butler's, his basketball IQ.
I think we all did. Wouldn't you agree? I think we all kind of, even the biggest Jimmy fans, like, wow, this is pretty spectacular.
But, you know, even I think we all are starting to get the sense that this team is a contender. But I still feel like, and this is kind of scary to say, while we are a contender, how far we go, I think, rests on Buddy Hield, which is a scary statement to say.
I don't think you're wrong.
I'm going to be really interested.
I don't think you're wrong. If this guy shoots really
Thanks, Morgan.
No, I don't mean to cut you off.
No,
I apologize.
That was a good call.
When Buddy is just solid, this team is almost unbeatable. When he's atrocious, they have a tough time. And that's without Kuminga, all right? Like, we'll see. I'm expecting a nice jolt with Kuminga because I think that he brings things to the table they need. Athleticism, perimeter defender, just a rim runner, got to put pressure in the lane, athleticism. Like, they wanted to throw many lobs since Jimmy got there, and they don't really have the athletes to do that. Kuminga's that athlete. Buddy, though, and what he does to space the floor as a guy off the bench, I mean, if he can just get into that 15-point-a-night range in a series...
He's asking a lot.
Okay, yeah. But in a series, do I need him all seven games? No, I probably need him, like, two.
Yeah.
And if he plays good for two, I'm winning two games.
Hell, if he gets hot for a half in both of those games, that's all you need. Because if he gets hot in a half, that is 10 to 15 points right there. I will say this. Yeah, I've been on Buddy Hield. You know, if you get anything from him, it changes everything dramatically.
So.
I'm still in the camp, though. They need Jonathan Kuminga if they want to get to an NBA.
Well, that's obvious. Plus, Buddy Hield.
Is it obvious?
What you said about Buddy Hield is terrifying.
I don't know if it is obvious. Some people might think, and some people have thought, like, hey, this thing's going great right now without Jonathan Kuminga. Maybe if we get anything from Buddy Hield, we can make a run without JK being at his best. Now,
I thought that, but then I've watched certain guys like Miles Bridges and OG Anunoby, and I'm saying to myself, like, all right, like, not for the whole game, but there's a level of athleticism that I think he slows those guys down because they have to defend him on one end. And I think he gives them another body to stay in front of guys like that and crash the glass and box out and stuff. Like, I like Gui Santos. Gui Santos is physically limited when it comes to explosiveness and being able to run with guys like that.
He is a big guy, but laterally, he's not the quickest.
No, but he makes up for it in just IQ and little hustle.
And great hair, too.
Yeah. You do need athletes. And this Warrior team is kind of devoid of athleticism, and if that's one element we're looking at.
And you're going to need that if you're going to match up, like you've saying, like you want the Oklahoma City Thunder, theoretically. What are they? That's the one word that comes to mind when you think of Oklahoma City Thunder for me. Athleticism.
Well, like, that's what it is. So let's close our eyes here and think about it. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, okay, or Luka.
Right.
Let's just use those two. I can throw GP2. I could throw Kuminga. I could throw Jimmy Butler. Like, that was better than what you had a couple months ago.
Sure.
I'm not saying for
now,
full
they're
stretches.
Still going to get theirs because they're elite players and they're top. They're MVP candidate players. Like, so they're going to get theirs. Just make it a little bit harder on them is all you're asking, right?
Yes.
Like, that was what was frustrating in the Lakers series, if you're a Warriors fan a couple years ago, is when you could have used Jonathan Kuminga a little bit, because once Andrew Wiggins got hurt in that game six,
you were done.
He was so compromised. You threw Moses Moody on LeBron James. God love Moses Moody. You're not guarding LeBron.
But Moses, I think yesterday they kind of found a little something against some of the not hyper-athletic point guards. You can throw Moses Moody on those guys
Jalen Brunson?
Like, that's a perfect player for him to kind of guard because he's bigger than him. And Jalen isn't going to blow you away with athleticism.
No.
He's a pivot, you know, kind of use my shot fakes and things like that. Like, he's much more nuanced. He had a really nice step through yesterday that was beautiful. But I just thought Moody did a great job making him work hard. It's about making these guys work hard.
Let's go to Kevin in Pleasant Hill. He wants to join the conversation, getting some calls here. 888-957-9570. Warriors 114, Knicks 102, Dubs improved to 34-28, which is crazy because they were mired in mediocrity for most of the last few months.
34-28.
And you know what? It feels like it's 10 games over 500 at this point, and sooner or later it might be 10 games over 500. What's up, Kevin? You're on with us.
Hey, Chasky.
Hey guys, how's it going? Hey, so, you know, I got a question for you guys. You know, when the Wiggins trade happened, I mean, there was just this sense of relief as a fan because, you know, you knew that he was a little bit of a black hole in the locker room. You just could tell, you know, and how much, you know, was exaggerated by the media. It's hard to understand. But, you know, ever since Jimmy Butler's been in, there's just been a little bit of skepticism. You're kind of like, well, how's he going to do, you know, in comparison to Wiggins because he's on the tail end of his career. But, oh, my gosh, he's just been so explosive. And, I'd love to know from you guys, you know, basketball athleticism aside, like, what do you guys think is just the key differences in what Butler brings aside from Wiggins?
His floor game.
Because
to me, it's the floor game on both ends. I'll let you continue. He sees the game almost like a point guard in that he gets the spots knowing it will open up a spot for someone else, and that guy fills the void. Boom, they back cut. There was a play yesterday where Pajemski's in traffic, and he knows that I'm not going to get this pass, but I better hurry up and box out because Pods is going to miss this, and I'm going to go right back up with it. On defense, he just doesn't leave his feet, and he helps really, really, really well. Like, he's a smart, smart player. His floor game on both ends is just excellent.
And Kevin, I'll let you finish as well. He doesn't put up hollow numbers.
No.
Like, let's just call it what it is. There was a lot of Andrew Wiggins games where it was 17, 18, 21, 22, but you didn't feel any of those points.
Like 12 in the first half and then 5 in the second half.
It sounds insane, but I feel like Jimmy Butler, when he puts up 10 points, more so than it did Andrew Wiggins when he put up 20, if that makes sense, Kevin.
100%. No, it does. And, like, you guys articulate really well because you felt that, right? As a fan, you'd see Wiggins go up and put up 22, and you'd still lose the game and kind of think, man, like, he's a highly productive player, and then Jimmy Butler comes in and he drops 12, but they win the game, and it just feels like a great team game, you know, with the Warriors and stuff, now that Jimmy Butler's in. So appreciate you guys letting me on. That was awesome.
Good call.
Thank you.
And then I do believe in the fourth quarter.
Good call.
He's just a calming presence.
Yeah.
There was a few times where someone got a rebound, and he brings the ball to court, and you see Steph bring it up, just bring it up, like he's like deferring to him, whereas I think a month ago Steph's like, all right, I need the ball. How many times did we see Steph at the top of the key try to go through two guys?
Yeah, all the time. It drove you nuts.
He was driving me crazy.
He would come in the next morning, it's like, can we stop doing this? Can anyone else try to make a play? Can we run a set offensively, please?
You know what I didn't see yesterday?
What?
Steph get blitzed at the top of the key and throw a lazy intercepted left-handed pass.
Nope. And yeah, we're not doing that. We're not doing it.
It was driving me insane, but yeah. I didn't see it yesterday.
No,
at all.
They're not, again, they're not forcing anything that's going to, like, that is what Jimmy brings. It's a sense of calming, as you've alluded to, as Kevin's alluded to in Pleasant Hill, and a sense of, we know what we're doing out on the floor. We have a plan of action. And Steve Kerr, again, the head coach, I'm going to put a lot of that on him because he is putting his players in positions to succeed right now. And the minute allocation, whether it's the matchups, is everything going to be great? Is everything going to work out? No. Should you have doubled Kyrie a couple weeks ago? Yeah. Did you? You lost the game. Okay. Their only loss when Jimmy Butler's been playing, right? That's their only loss. You lost against the Philadelphia 76ers a game you probably should have won. You know, Quentin Grimes goes off. Does that happen with Jimmy Butler out there? Probably not. So there's levels to this. There's going to be some bumps and bruises along the way. They're not going to be the Cleveland Cavaliers in winning, how many of them, like 12, 13, 14 in a row. It's not going to happen. But you might win 10 of 13. You might win 12 of 15.
That's
which
crazy.
Is crazy.
I would have signed up for that 10 out of 10 times.
And that's the run you're on right now. Before we get to the injury report, let's hit Josh on 580.
Hey, Josh.
He wants to talk about Steph Curry. What's up, Josh?
What up, my boys? Happy Wednesday to you. Thank yeah, God. Man, I think the to me, Steph Curry is an MVP.
Oh, no. That phone line was not the MVP. He said Steph Curry was the MVP, and we'll just leave it at that. Yeah, he's been incredible, and Steph's been on here. That phone line was unfortunately not. He needs to get Xfinity Mobile is what he needs to do.
It does feel like the entire organization in unison took a big, deep exhale and was like, all right, we know exactly what the blueprint is now. It's the three guys, Draymond, Butler, and Steph, and then everyone else, play your role. Everyone else, just play your role, buy into whatever we're asking you to do, and we're going to win games, and we'll all look good doing it.
I mean, you've mentioned it. I'll reiterate it. The scoring before and after Jimmy Butler. Prior to the acquisition of Jimmy Butler, Steph was averaging 22.7. Since Jimmy Butler's been here, 29.4. Like, he's changed everything. And to his point, you know, Josh on the 580, whose connection, unfortunately, it was gone. But he was saying, I don't think we could underscore enough. Yeah, Jimmy Butler's the guy and he's helped, but this team is not getting anywhere without Steph. And we thought a couple months ago, dare I say he looked a little washed for Steph Curry standards, which sounds insane, and I hate saying it like that, but he was looking a little bit like, man, he's looking his age.
You could
he's gonna be feel it. Next week he's gonna be 37 years old. But the way he's been playing as of late,
I love the way we talk about 37-year-olds in sports like they're like 62-year-olds and, you know, 7-year-olds in real life.
LeBron just scored 50,000 points in the regular season and playoffs combined. He's looking. Did they see that stat where at 40 years old, he's looked better than his 32-year-old season? Insane. Insane. We're going to pick that up on the other side. Plus, wait until you hear
so
Shaquille.
LeBron, just it's like. It's a marvel about how natural everything's been.
Well, maybe he's just fighting through those foot injuries like you can, Carter.
It's time for the injury report.
That really hurt.
Brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years.
Just because LeBron's 40 out there and he's balling at the height of his career, it's looking, all right?
I love
And
LeBron.
You're getting knocked out in knockout in the second. In round one.
Shooting free throws like LeBron.
There you go. Well, LeBron's been making his as of late. So is Luka Doncic. Gary Payton II, though, was not able to suit up in the Warriors' win over the Knicks last night due to a non-displaced nose fracture. Ouch. GP2 suffered the fracture on Monday when he collided with LaMelo Ball. He is currently listed as questionable for the Warriors' contest against the Nets tomorrow evening. How many masks have we seen already from players? We've seen Pods.
Looney.
We've seen Kevon. Is this going to be our third mask now? The mask, face off, let's go. Nicolas Cage, John Travolta. The injury report was brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years. Anthony Slater joining us at 8:30. More of your calls, more of your texts. David in Maryland, I see you. And wait until you hear what Shaquille O'Neal had to say in regards to Stephen Curry in the GOAT conversation. You're not going to want to miss that. And that's going to be brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
So, I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Almacid, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Almacid has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Almacid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almacid.com. That's Almased.com.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.